where are you this Christmas? That's the question I've been asked a few times, and it's kind of conversation started. I've asked other people, where are you this Christmas? And obviously being a pastor, that usually means I'm in my own home church. Where are you this morning? You'll probably say, well, I'm in Shepshed and I'm sitting in Word of Life Church on Kirk Hill. Well, I don't actually mean that. Where are you this morning? Are you nearby or are you far off? Are you nearby to the Lord Jesus Christ or are you far off from him? If you want a title for this message, it is simply this question: where are you? Where are you? One of the things I find really intriguing about the Christmas story is it's the coming of the Magi, the wise men. They come from the east. These mysterious figures who appear and then disappear again, and we know nothing else about them. Where did they come from? How did they get to know about Jesus? What brought them exactly? And then at the same time, there are people already there in Jerusalem, in the capital, just literally 3 or 4 miles up the road from Bethlehem. They're already nearby to where Jesus was born and where Mary and Joseph and Jesus were. And they're nearby. So the wise men come from far off, but there are loads of people already nearby. And the different way they behave and the reactions of them and what happens to them, I find fascinating. And it was a long time ago, whilst reading a Spurgeon sermon on Matthew chapter 2, it set me thinking. I think the title of Spurgeon's sermon was The Far Off Nearby and the Nearby Far Off. And that's kind of, as Spurgeon's sermons sometimes do, was like a spark that lit a fire. So the sermon this morning is mine, but the initial spark of inspiration that got it going was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. But I'll say it is my sermon. There are those who come from afar, like the wise men, and they find Jesus. And there are those nearby, like the people in Jerusalem, who don't. So let's begin by thinking of the far off nearby. The far off nearby. The Magi, traditionally we've called them wise men. We read about them in the opening verses here. It doesn't say they were kings, but they were certainly important people. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." These men were important people. We don't really have a direct equivalent today in our world. But if you imagine that they were probably members of the aristocracy, so in today's world there'd be Duke this or Viscount the other or Lord so and so, they would have been important people, titled people. But they were also people who studied. They studied the various religions of the world. They studied the prophecies that prophets had made. They studied the heavens, the heavenly bodies. And when people wanted wisdom on some subject, they were the men that would be consulted. If they'd had TV in those days, then when the presenter wanted to say, well, we'll now speak to an expert, it would have been one of the Magi that they wheeled in, the expert who knew apparently everything about everyone and could answer the questions. It seems likely they were from Persia, which is modern Iran, possibly from Babylon, which is really more Iraq. But they were from far off. They'd come maybe 800-900 miles. And in the ancient world, that was far off. I don't know what for you constitutes far off. You know, we live in a jet age. I guess Papua New Guinea would be far off. Senegal's a little closer. Or we think of our friends in the Gulf, Bahrain. That's about 4,000 miles away. To me, that's far off. To fly by jet, that's 6.5 hours. I looked this up. If you decided to go and see our friends in the Gulf by car, and you didn't take any breaks, so I guess there have to be 2 or 3 of you taking turns driving whilst they're asleep, you could do it in 65 hours. All right, so a lot of driving. It's a far off, isn't it? So, but far off, of course, is a relative term, isn't it? Some of you know that my wife's sister is married into a farming family. And the farm was passed down by 3 brothers, 2 of whom were unmarried. And their horizons were, I'd have to say, quite narrow. You know, they were Somerset folk, good, hearty Somerset folk. But their idea of far off was their summer holidays at Burnham-on-Sea, which was 15 miles away. That was far off. Simon told me that, I think it was when he first came here and he met some of the elderly ladies were around, and in conversation he said to this lady, "Have you always lived in Shepshek? Or have you always lived around here?" "Oh no," she said. "We used to live in Oscarthorpe." For those who don't know, Oscarthorpe is the next village after Belton. You know, that's obviously, Shepshed was far off. I suspect that if you knocked on one or two doors in Shepshed today, you could probably find some people who think Loughborough is far off. They may even think you need a passport to get across the M1, I don't know. So, far off is a relative term, but these wise men were certainly far off. For them, it would have been weeks of travel, under difficult conditions, mostly desert. Difficult and dusty travel, weeks of it, hundreds of miles. They were far off geographically, but they were far off in other ways too. These men had only little fragments, little snippets of the truth. It is very likely that they had access to Daniel's prophecies, because Daniel was told on a couple of occasions to seal up the prophecies. In other words, make them secure and put them where people can refer to them. And the Persians, the ancient world, were the first great library builders. They collected books and made great libraries. So we know that Daniel's prophecies would have been in the Persian libraries, so it's very likely that they had consulted them amongst many other things. And maybe they read Daniel chapter 9, where there's the mysterious prophecies about 77s, which when you work it out is 490. And some people think that means 490 years from the time of Daniel to the time of Christ. Yeah, that may well be how we're meant to interpret it. But maybe they'd been studying things like that, but they only had tiny fragments of the truth. And then, of course, this mysterious heavenly body that they called a star, because they didn't know what else to call it. No ordinary star, though, that appeared. And as they pieced these things together, they came to some conclusions. I feel sure that God must have spoken to them through it. And they come, after all these hundreds of miles, to Jerusalem from far off, and they come, verse 2 tells us, to worship him. They are now nearby. And so Herod the king gets the chief priests and the scribes together, and they tell him exactly what the scripture says. And we read that when Herod had gathered the chief priests and the scribes together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. He said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, it is written by the prophet." And so he passes that message on to the wise men, along with his own message: "When you found him, tell me, because I want to come and worship him as well." We know that, of course, that wasn't true. And so verse 9, we read that when the wise men heard the king, they departed, and the star they'd seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced. Why did they rejoice when they saw the star? Well, we find the answer in the next verse. When they came to the house, they saw the young child, Jesus, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him, and opened their treasures and presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense and myrrh. They rejoiced because they had found Jesus. They had found the Lord Jesus Christ, and they worshipped him, and they gave him costly and extravagant gifts: gold and frankincense and myrrh. They have come near. They've come very near. They've come right to him. They are wise men indeed. Those who were far off, and when they had only a little bit of light, they responded to that light that they had, and they sought at great personal cost, great personal effort. And it's an astonishing sight to imagine these really important men, aristocrats, experts, considered to be the top brass, in the dust, on the floor of a humble house, worshipping a baby, because they knew he was the King of Kings. The far off, nearby. And there are many people like them. There are people like that in this room this morning. Some of us, some of you, were scoffers. You were atheists. You were sold on the pathway of sin. You were far off. Or maybe you lived amongst and grew up amongst people who were scoffers and atheists and sold on the pathway of sin, and you were far off, but by God's grace a light shone, a star. Maybe that star was the life of a Christian. Maybe that star was a verse of the Bible or a sermon you heard, or that star was something in, that stabbed your conscience, but something that shone a light, and you began to seek, and you found the Lord Jesus, only to discover actually he was the one that had been seeking you all the time. And now you are nearby, you are worshipping your Saviour just like the wise men did. In fact, the Bible teaches that all of us by nature were far off. Ephesians 2 verse 1, it says, you were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Many of the youngsters here today have the privilege of coming from Christian homes. But the Bible tells us, Christian home or not, we are born dead spiritually. We're far off. Ephesians 2:13, you who are now in Christ were once far off, he says. We've got a royal wedding to look forward to next year, haven't we? And a lot of people love royal weddings. You know, William and Kate, what a story. And then Harry and Meghan. It's not exactly the girl next door, though, is it? You know, if you think that, then you just got to realise all Kate's connections and the wealth and the lineage there. And even Meghan, although she's a bit different, coming from the other side of the Atlantic, you know, she's got her own TV show and what have you. This is not exactly the girl next door. But imagine that one of the princes went to one of our cities and one of the roughest of estates, and maybe befriended a girl off the streets or somebody from one of the worst of homes, most troubled of our estates, and really did marry the girl next door. Wouldn't that be an amazing story? Someone who was far off from royalty is brought near. But actually that would be nothing compared with what has happened to those of us who know the Lord Jesus. He has brought us from far, far off and brought us in and made him part, as part of the bride of Christ, part of his royal family. Christian friend, this morning I want you to try and remember just how far off you were. And now you are adopted into his family. Now you are a son or daughter of God. Haven't you got reason to praise and worship him and to adore him this morning, the Saviour of sinners who made it happen? The far off, nearby. But the other side of the story is the nearby, far off. The nearby, the far off. This is the disturbing side of the story. Verse 3, we read, when Herod the king heard this, this is when the wise men came and said, we've heard there's a king being born, where is he? When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. The word there means he was agitated, he was disturbed. Now, where we come from, living by the sea, I know exactly what this word means. It's a word you could use to describe the sea. In Clevedon, when there was a high tide and a bit of wind, the waves would hit one part of the wall of the harbour and bounce back, and they hit another part of the wall of the harbour and bounce back, and where they hit each other, the turbulence was something to behold. It was agitated, it was disturbed, and that was what Herod and all Jerusalem with him, they were disturbed. Now these are people who were nearby, they were literally only a couple of miles up the road, and yet they were far off. Why was Herod so far off? Well, his position was threatened. Herod was king. He was number one. He didn't like the idea of there being another king, somebody who might be lord over him. So when he says to the wise men, go search carefully for the child and bring back word that I may worship him, of course that was a lie. This man was hardened. This man was self-centered. He was only thinking of number one, his own interests and his alone. That's why he was far off from Jesus Christ. And then there's the chief priests and the teachers of the law, the religious types, the ones that they went to say, can you tell us where the king should be born? Now these men had the scriptures. They had what we have now in our Bible, the Old Testament. And the interesting thing is they know exactly where to look. They go straight to Micah chapter 5 and say, there you are, there it is, he'll be born in Bethlehem. And here's the thing I find intriguing but also quite shocking. There is absolutely no record that these men who knew that the Christ would be born in Bethlehem lifted a finger or went to look just 3 or 4 miles down the road to check it out for themselves. Isn't that amazing? They didn't even bother. Religious people. Oh, these people could discuss religion till the cows come home. They loved talking about religion. They really enjoyed talking about it. But they had no desire to look for the Saviour. They were that close, and yet so far off. So there's Herod, there's the religious, There's also the rest. It's all Jerusalem, Matthew tells us. Herod was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. The bulk of the people, the rest of the people. The news that a king has been born creates quite a stir. And you can imagine the kind of things they were saying. Was this king going to come and get rid of the Romans? Or what about Herod, this man they hated? He was a Roman puppet. He'd been put there by the Romans, but he was a horrible man, a brutal man. Maybe they think, another king? We know what Herod's like. This is going to mean trouble. We don't want trouble. We want a quiet life. Anything for a quiet life. This announcement sounds like it's going to bring trouble. We don't want trouble. We want a quiet life. I think that's the likely reading of why they were as they were. These are nearby people who are far off. There was Herod, the ruler, serving only number one, only himself. I'm king of my life, and nobody else is going to be king of my life. And he was intensely hostile, would have killed Christ if he could. There was the ruler, there was the religious. They were happy with their religion, but had no desire for the Lord Jesus whatsoever. And there was the rest, all Jerusalem, who it seems to me just wanted a quiet life without too much disturbance. All of them were nearby, but they were far off from Christ. None of them sought him. None of them found him. So although they were only 3 or 4 miles up the road, they might as well have been 1,000,000 miles away. Might as well have been further away than the sun. The Christmas story, as well as being a story of great joy, is also a warning. And my prayer is that every one of us would heed that warning. It is possible to be nearby. We are, in a sense, we're nearby this morning. You're in church. We're singing carols. We're celebrating Christmas. Do I have to remind you that the first 6 letters of Christmas are C-H-R-I-S-T, Christ. It's his birthday we're celebrating. You're nearby. You're here. But it is possible, whilst being nearby, actually to be far off. You might as well be 1,000,000 miles away. You might as well be further away than the sun. Because maybe like Herod, your heart is hardened and Jesus is a threat to you. Okay, you would never do the terrible things that Herod did, but you're just as determined as he was that he's not going to be your king. And so you're far off. Or maybe you're religious, and that's part of the reason why you're here this morning, because you're interested in these things. You love hearing about them, talking about them, even singing about them, but that's as far as it goes. Jesus had some words of warning for people like that. Matthew 8:11, he says, people will come, many will come from the east and the west, from far off, and they will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the kingdom, but the sons of the kingdom, those who are right here, they will be cast out to the outer darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, to be far off means far off from God, forever in hell. And then there was the rest. Those folks who just wanted a quiet life. Happy to stay in their sins, happy to stay in doing what they're doing, even though it would take them eventually far off from God into hell forever. Tragic, isn't it? To be nearby and yet far off. 6 years ago, just before Christmas, I met my niece. Now, you might say there was nothing very remarkable about that, but let me give you a little family background. Although we ourselves, Hilary and I, have a large family, my side of the family is very small. I have one elder sister. And she has 2 children, one of whom's a recluse. So I have one niece on that side of the family. That's all I have. And when she knocked on our door, this was 6 years ago, I hadn't seen her for 25 years. I won't go into the details behind that, but she lived in East Sussex, which is a long way from Somerset. You'd say it was far off. But her boyfriend, who's now her partner, lived in Yatton, which is a little village just outside Clevedon, 3 or 4 miles away, same distance as Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And so she'd been there frequent occasions to visit him and then visit his family over many years, that close, that nearby. But when she knocked on my door, I didn't know who she was and she didn't know who I was. Although she's my niece, she might as well have been 1,000,000 miles away. I could, because I didn't, obviously, but I could have said, I don't know you. I knew she was coming because I'd had a phone call, but I didn't know her. Jesus tells us on the great day when we stand before him, there will be many people And Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart. Go away. That'd be awful. You don't want to stand before the Lord Jesus one day, do you, and him say to you, I'm sorry, I don't know you. Depart. Go. Where are you this morning? Are you nearby? Have you come to him from far away and now you will worship him? Well, let's worship him for the mercy that brought us far off sinners nearby to him. It's nothing we've done, it's what he's done for us. Or are you still far off? One of those maybe appear to be nearby, but are still off, far off from him. Be wise. Follow the example of the Magi, the wise men. Come to Christ. Lay your costliest treasures at his feet. Lay your life at his feet. Confess to him your sin. Isaiah 45:22, there's an invitation that says this: look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ this day and be saved, and you will certainly have the best Christmas present you could ever, ever have. Amen.